had a lot of incredibly odd jobs in my 25 years on this planet. All were temporary. None have paid well. The stories I was left with were much better than the paychecks. My job journey started when I was 13. My dad, Steve, owned a cell phone store. He thought I'd become a family empire, so he had me start at an early age to know the blood, sweat, and tears it takes to push a Verizon family floor plan. He had me start small. I was put in charge of charging. I sat in front of a collection of batteries for hours until they reached their maximum potential, and then switched them out for another set. So I did this for a couple Saturdays, told Steve I had bigger fish to fry at 13, and that the family business could survive without me. One of my favorite jobs was something I secured my senior year of college. Through an odd twist of fate, I had become the booking intern for everyone's favorite 90s rock group, Hootie and the Blowfish. Yes, they still exist, but no, Hootie doesn't play with them anymore, so my job was to make sure the other Blowfish could scrape up a few extra dollars playing the state fair circuit in South Carolina. I got this job because the guitarist was an adjunct professor at my college, and he really liked women under 22, so, like, demographically, I was a shoo-in. It was a really bizarre 6 months. So after graduating college and blowing Hootie a goodbye kiss, I packed up my things and I moved north. I drove to Chicago, determined to make a name for myself in the arts world. So I applied to record labels, galleries, theaters, coffee shops in theaters, coffee shops next to theaters, theatrical coffee shops, like nothing was working. So as a last-ditch effort to escape the job I had transferred with, American Apparel, I decided to tap into an old passion of mine. I had become what every recent graduate dreams of becoming, a personal shopper at the American Girl doll store. So for those of you who don't know what an American Girl doll is, it's a tiny toy person used to represent different historical periods, but now represents how f***ed up the economy is. You would spend $150 on Felicity of Colonial Times. So things at the doll store started off well. All of my coworkers were in their 50s. They were all in it for the discount. None of them had children. So my job was to follow these like snot-nosed 8-year-olds around as they picked out everything on their wish list, and I just held a big sack behind them. So they had to make sure Samantha had the new ski outfit for that upcoming family trip to Aspen, or, you know, they could order the new bunk bed with the faux popcorn and like the Little Us Weekly magazine because like Molly has friends come over and they can't sleep on the floor. So, I mean, what are you gonna do? And I really didn't think it could get worse until I met Donna. Donna was in charge of the doll hair salon. So sometimes little girls don't take good care of their dolls and their hair gets really messy. So there's an actual hair salon in the store with chairs like this big, and the girls would come and the hairdressers would work their magic and everyone would leave with like a braided crown or sleek ponytail. Donna ran the salon. She had just celebrated 10 years at American Girl. She even had girls come back as clients because her work was that good. So one day, I made the rookie mistake of telling a young soul that Depression-era Kit wouldn't look good in a high ponytail, and maybe she should just do the half up, half down. So Donna heard me give this advice. She stormed on over and told me I didn't have the expertise to tell the girl what Kit should wear. She then pulled me aside and told me the ponytail cost $35 and the half up only $20. So we all worked on commission. I was cheating Donna out of a 50-cent sale, and she did not let me forget it. For the next week and a half, my lunches mysteriously disappeared out of the company fridge. I would walk into the break room, and my lean cuisine was always on top of the trash, always half eaten. And though I couldn't prove it, Donna, who got out of lunch just like 3 minutes before I did, she would see me staring longingly at this half-frozen feast and say things like, "I'm helping you with your diet." So after being starved out of work, I decided to address the issue. So I walk up to the doll hair salon on one of the slower hours, and as she's sweeping tiny fake hair, I decided to ask her why she was so upset. After a long, deep sigh, she finally told me that she needed the money. Donna had 3 kids. I didn't know this. And then I finally realized that this wasn't just a way to scrape up rent for her. Donna liked her job, and she was actually good at it. She told me this is where she could spend the rest of her life, and she enjoyed what she was doing. And at that moment, I was incredibly inspired and also really envious. So after making peace at the salon and surviving a brutal winter, I quit the doll store, I moved out of Chicago, and I'm still searching for the happiness that she had in whatever hairstyle it comes in. She told her-